Friday, August 29th. We are out of Fridays in the month of August, which means we're about to begin some NFL Sundays. Oh, it is a good time of year. Football's around the corner. We got college football giving us a big weekend for the first time in a long time this weekend. Oh, it just is. It's one of my favorite times of year. This is about to get going. So welcome. It's a great time for you to like and subscribe to the Damon Bruce Show. Damon Bruce Plus, as always, brought to you by Ike Sandwiches. It is fantastic to have you here. It really is. Thank you. Your time is precious. The fact that you'd spend it with me means an awful lot, and I'm not here to waste your time. But apparently, Juwan Jennings is. Good God. I mean, the sip of the day was just right there. We had to go for it quickly. What in God's name is going on with Juwan Jennings here? The latest from Tim Kawakami is really quite a doozy, and there's not a lot of doozies out there that get me. You know, this whole time I've been saying, just take Juwan's existing deal and fluff it. Fluff it somehow. Fluff it in a way that doesn't make guys who aren't getting their deals fluffed to anger. Just make him happy. Just get it done with. Just give him a little something more to make everybody feel better about playing football this season. Well, apparently, a little something more is not in the picture that Juwan Jennings is looking for. According to Tim Kawakami, Jennings' contract dispute might be influencing the fact that he isn't out there in Practiceville. Could be a calf, could be financial concerns. John Lynch quoting Ralph Barbieri saying two things can be equally true. Kawakami on the radio said that Juwan Jennings isn't just looking for around $20 million. He's looking for north of $20 million. North of $20 million. Okay. All right. Now we have some numbers that we can really talk about, because that's a number we're not talking about. Are we out of our minds? I mean, I really like you, Juwan Jennings. I want to carry water for you in a few different ways. I like a guy who answers bells when they're rung for him. And Juwan Jennings did that. Juwan Jennings answered the bell that rang when called upon. And that's why we all like the guy. Good blocker in the running game. My kind of hardworking, blue collar, lunch pail type of wide receiver. Juwan Jennings. He's a lot of things, but he's not a $20 million a year wide receiver. And I know that because there's actually a group of them. And they stand out quite differently from the career arc of Juwan Jennings. So let's just get into the facts, okay? It's time we removed the fact that I cover the 49ers, that you root for the 49ers, that you might like Juwan Jennings, you might dislike Juwan Jennings, does not matter. Let's remove any element of fandom or emotion from this and just get down to the brass tacks of business. And all sports business needs to be backed up with statistics. That's just the way it is. That's the way it is in sports. I'm going to pay you for what you do on the field. Not what you might do, but what you have done, who you are, and what you mean to us and the league at large. That's what sports is all about. Removing emotion from it. I'll even start with some positivity, saying that Juwan Jennings answered the bell. When given the opportunity to do more, he did more. And I like that about him, and you do too. He has never started more than 10 games in any season of his career. So it's not like he's been out there pushing elite guys off the field, and the argument could then even be made, hey, the guys that he was behind really weren't the elite of the elite. A whole bunch of, 1A wide receiver twos is what really the 49ers have been marching out as wide receiver ones compared to the true ones in this league. But it was good enough to get the job done. But it's not like this guy, can't crack a lineup behind Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson. He couldn't crack a lineup behind Ayuk and Debo, who we think among the, more inappropriately paid wide receivers out there now, $20 million a year guys. But I'll tell you, they, in a way that Juwan Jennings has not, earned it. Again, just the facts. The whys do not matter. The how we get to these numbers do not matter. Just the facts. The next time he catches 80 balls in a season will be the first time that he's ever done that. The next time he has a 1,000-yard receiving season, it'll be the first time Juwan Jennings has ever done that. Juwan Jennings doesn't even know what 7 touchdowns in a season looks or feels like because he has never done it. He's topped out at 6, and he did that last year. Again, it's not like he's being held back by the greats. He can't crack a lineup of the very goods until they went down in front of him. Bell rings, Juwan answers, fantastic. Never caught more than 80 balls, never had 7 touchdowns, never had 1,000 yards in any of the seasons that he's played. With just a really quick accounting of the league, like I didn't dive deep into this, and good God, the numbers change every day, so maybe it's more or less by 1 or 2. But as far as I put it together quickly this morning, while I was making my coffee and getting ready to talk to you fine people, hit like and subscribe. We got 24 wide receivers in the NFL at $20 million or more per season. It starts all the way up top at Ja'Marr Chase. He's a $40 million a year man, and he's very, very special. We all know that. But here are your 24 wide receivers making $20 million or more. I've written them down for you. Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, C.D. Lamb, D.K. Metcalf, A.J. Brown, Terry McLaurin, Garrett Wilson, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Brandon Ayuk, Tyreek Hill, T. Wiggins, Devontae Adams, D.J. Moore, Cooper Kupp, Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle, Nico Collins, Deebo Samuel, Michael Pittman Jr., Calvin Ridley, Stephon Diggs, Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, Keenan Allen, Amari Cooper coming in as a $20 million a year man. So there are your 24 wide receivers making $20 million or more in football. Of that group that I just told you about, Chase, Jefferson, Lamb, Brown, Scary Terry, Wilson, Amon-Ra, Ayuk, Hill, Wiggins, Waddle, Adams, Kupp, Smith, Collins, Deebo, Pittman, Ridley, Godwin, Evans, Allen, Cooper. Every single one of those guys had all of the milestones that I told you Juwan Jennings doesn't have in any of his seasons. They all had them in a same season. Every single one of those guys making $20 million a year has had 80 catches, 1,000 yards, and more than 6 touchdowns in one season, much less spread across. That's what a $20 million a year guy does in this league. That's how a $20 million a year wide receiver produces. You do all of the things that Juwan Jennings has never done in any of his years, you do them all in the same year. And that's the difference. Again, I am not anti-guys making more money. I'm not anti-guys wanting more as soon as they start playing better. I get it. I really do. But I'm also, I think, you know, just married to the concept of, well, in order to breach this price point, you have to have done this, this, and this. And the guy hasn't done any of the this, this, and this. He hasn't checked one, this, that, or this box. Not one. So the truth is, shame on the 49ers for letting it go this far. If they've known this $20 million figure for weeks, months now, why weren't they trading him at that particular time? Why weren't they getting out of the Juwan Jennings business instead of going further down the he ain't playing, he ain't practicing, he is unhappy road, and having to do all the roster machinations because you're running out of wide receivers and you got to sign a guy today and waive a guy tomorrow and trade for a guy tomorrow that you then put on the practice squad because today you got this many wide receiver, but that now you need that. I mean, like, think of all, if we had just removed the Juwan Jennings headache, could have gotten done in this preseason from the 49ers that would have prevented 9 other transactions from having to happen just so we can go out here and have practice today. Again, facts. Facts mean Juwan Jennings is not a $20 million a year wide receiver. This is not. And this is, you know, like, please don't put Juwan Jennings and Micah Parsons' name in the same mouth. You know, Micah Parsons is a whatever the Green Bay Packers $1 million a year decided to pay him type player. You know, he's first team all pro all the time in his career so far, basically. So he is going at the tippy toppiest of tippy toppiest price points. And that's that. The Dallas Cowboys just chose not to meet that price point. That's the way they want to do things. Fine. To meet certain price points, you have to check off career criteria. Juwan Jennings isn't even in the neighborhood. So I don't want to hear that the 49ers aren't even in his neighborhood of salary demands. He's demanding something that he doesn't deserve. He is. He's demanding something he doesn't deserve. So Taj Beats says, Ayuk was mid as fuck too. Why did he get paid? Because he wasn't mid as fuck. That might be your opinion of him. But Brandon Ayuk, for a guy who is mid as fuck, has had 270 catch seasons, 2,000 yard seasons. He's caught 8 and 7 touchdowns. He has had a much better, way more productive career than Juwan Jennings. I mean, it's not even comparable. It's not even close. This thing should have been handled months ago. The 49ers are slow to drag their feet to the evaluation of, this guy's asking for too much. He's out of his tits. We're not doing it. You got to reach that decision faster than the 49ers have reached it. And if they really are, you know, again, not going to go ahead and pay the guy at all, well, then what you've done is paint yourself into the corner of yet another unavailable player for you. Through your own making, through your own design, through your own inability to read the room that you were standing in, that you created for yourself, you fucking drafted this guy. It's not like you just met him. It's insane that they're this deep. So it is Friday afternoon. Then it'll be Saturday afternoon. Then it'll be Sunday afternoon. And a week from that Sunday afternoon, it's game time. And you're still doing this? Like, this still has not been settled, calf injury or not? Come on. The minute he said, yeah, $20 million a year, I would have been like, uh-huh. Come on. How are you trying to talk a guy out of a $20 million a year tree that doesn't want to come out of it? You cut down the fucking tree, you have the whole thing fall over, and you make it somebody else's problem. But no, they fertilized, they germinated, they went ahead and they created the photosynthesis to have this problem just get bigger and bigger and bigger the closer it gets to football. And what are you doing? I mean, you know, whatever John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan are good at, and they do have a list of things that they are good at, anticipating players' markets sure as shit ain't one of them. Another great sip of the day. Again, thanks so much for being here. It is absolutely awesome having you here. Again, we're almost out of August, which means the year's about to get better. We're about to get into football. We're about to officially achieve maximum football. Yeah. I want you to achieve maximum sandwich, and I'd like you to do it today. Get yourself to an Ike's. Hopefully you live around one. Hopefully one is opening near you soon enough. And if not, you're just going to have to take my word for it. Your life is incomplete without an Ike sandwich in your mouth. I want you to consider ordering Ike's for your first NFL party of the year, for your next meeting at the office with people you want fed well. Check out Ike's Catering. Sign up for the Love Rewards program. Start earning your way towards free sandwiches, and you will be among the happiest campers camping in the sandwich woods. I promise you. Our good friends at the Dubliner are just waiting to take care of you on West Portal. Kenny and John are there. They understand this Juwan Jennings thing requires a perfectly poured Guinness. They understand that even though the Giants got a nice little winning streak, that could, you know, the rug can be pulled out from under them at any minute, and you might need a perfectly poured Guinness. Get yourself to the Dubliner West portal. Love those guys. Thanks to them for supporting Damon Bruce Plus. Thanks to all of you. Again, word of mouth advertising is better than any advertising campaign I could ever put together. If you like today's video, share it with a friend. Tell them to check it out. We do this Monday through Friday at 11 a.m. West Coast time, 1 a.m. East Coast time. Monday through Friday we go. We got Wake Up with Damon and Larry on Mondays and Fridays as well. Didn't have one today because Larry's got another assignment. By the way, did you see that Barstool ripped us off? The Barstool Fox Alliance that will precede Big Noon Kickoff is called Wake Up Barstool. So the Wake Up brand that Larry and I have established already been ripped off by Barstool. Thanks an awful lot. But that just means we're onto something. More people typing in Wake Up can't be bad for the search engine. So, you know, good, great. Share it. Get yourself to Ike's. Like and subscribe to today's show. Thanks to everyone for the supers. We'll jump into those here in just a second. And, I mean, it's just, the most important thing is don't pay Juwan Jennings $20 million a year. He ain't that guy. Come on, what are we doing? What are we doing? Joseph Ehrenberg says, year after year, the front office handicaps the season. And I really thought that this was the year that they decided that they weren't going to do that. Barry coming in with a 20 spot, a 20 twin twin. Thank you very much, Barry. Bang, bang, Plusers. I can't stay, but I wanted to check on Chef A and drop something into the jar. By the way, I dig the alternate black uniforms with the saloon font numbers. I like the saloon font numbers. Wasn't crazy about the color, but it's much improved from their first all black go around for sure. Thank you very much. By the way, I did get a DM from Chef A saying that her corneal surgery went well. I hope I'm not sharing something I shouldn't. But good news, I think, should be shared. And we all love Chef A very, very much. So hopefully she is less of a pirate wearing an eye patch soon enough and is back winking and blinking and flirting with all of us because we freaking love Chef A. Speedy recovery indeed. Joe Sullivan kicking off the Friday Supers. I should have gotten to you first. I went reverse. I went snake order. Thank you very much, Joe Sullivan. He's always dipping in that ganja jar for me. Pound, like, and subscribe. Oh, yes. Make sure it happens.
Pound it, pound it, pound it, pound it.
Thank you, Sam Bruno Mike. Thank you so very, very much. We all good here? We all good? Have we gotten a Chef A update? Is she in here? She's in here. She's in here saying hello. I'm glad she's doing well. Love you, Chef. Love all of you, really. Seriously. We will be putting plans together for a Plus Mania at the Dubliner soon. Details to follow. I think the ship has sailed on our let's all go to a baseball game idea. We tried to find the week and the day to put that together, but whenever we got to something that we kind of agreed upon, that day would fall through for one reason or another. So sorry about that. I hate to, you know, release thought balloons that never actually float or pop, but we will be getting it back in terms of Plus Mania. We need a bang bang sound. You can just, Barry, you can just, you know, just hit the table. But yeah, I do kind of need a bang bang sound. The whole Bang Bang Niner gang kind of came out of nowhere. I wasn't really ready for it. I wasn't even comfortable saying it, to be honest with you. I don't know if I'm very comfortable saying it right now, but if you are, that's great. Damon, got regular Ryan saying, might be easier to get out to an Oakland Ballers game. Come on, dude. If I had told the Oakland Ballers I needed 40 tickets, they'd have them waiting for me. They're so nice. I haven't been in it over there. I love the concept. I love the idea. I just don't know if I've got the time. I got two boys. Things are busy. Yesterday, Sam Batesh and I had to go live immediately with news of the Micah Parsons trade. It really was the trade that shook the NFL. And look, you know, Jerry wants to be the center of attention above all else, if nothing else, besides being awash in 90s nostalgia, which all eight episodes of America's Team, The Gambler and His Cowboys on Netflix really was. It was also a documentary very much about how Jerry Jones and everything that you know about the Cowboys exists because he demands as much credit as he does deserve. He demands more credit than he does deserve, and he doesn't feel that he's gotten the amount of credit that he should deserve. And some of that is right, but some of it is just so wrong, and that just shows you what a bad leader that guy really is. A great leader doesn't care who gets the credit for the job well done. It doesn't. And everyone wants credit for the job well done. You know, victory has 1,000 fathers, defeat is an orphan. That's not a cliche because it isn't true. Everyone wants credit for something that works well. And in this documentary, it is brought, the subject is broached almost once per episode, if not more than once per episode, that one of the biggest fissures between Jimmy Johnson and Jerry Jones was the fact both men were trying to take the lion's share of credit for the Herschel Walker trade, which was a seminal moment in Dallas Cowboys history. Credit or lack thereof for the Herschel Walker trade has deeply affected Jerry Jones's entire life. It has touched his id, his ego, the who he is when he looks in a mirror, when he's standing alone in a bathroom. He is haunted by not getting enough credit for the Herschel Walker trade from people who really don't matter to the equation at all. This is narcissism. Netflix and the documentary about the Dallas Cowboys, I really believe this. Netflix had as much to do with this Micah Parsons trade as any concern about team building or roster strategy or financial consideration. This is Jerry Jones sitting down and watching his own documentary, being enamored by it, I'm sure, being constantly reminded that this is one of the more unhappiest moments of his life, not getting full credit for this, and him thinking to him, well, I've got another player here at the moment in time where if I do trade him for first-round picks, everyone will know that is me, and I will get the credit. I truly think that Micah Parsons is a Dallas Cowboy if Netflix had not released a documentary about the Dallas Cowboys. Because, look, Jerry's made a lot of weird decisions, but paying top dollar to retain his top players usually is not one of them. I mean, he does. Jerry usually waits too long to do that and overspends to do that. And one could easily argue that this is an absolute direct result of yet another sequence of decisions of dragging your feet on a contract where if you'd run a really good deal to the table a year earlier, a year prior, you would have saved money and gotten it all done and removed all the headache and the agita and the anxiety of everything. But again, Jerry Jones will tell you, he likes the anxiety. Anxiety gets 200-point font headlines. You know, the anxiety is printed in 3-inch font in the newspaper where everything went well today isn't even a story in modern news. And he likes that. He admitted as much in the documentary about his shortcomings. He admitted it. I don't think this trade goes through without that Netflix documentary. I think it got Jerry's mind jogging in a direction it probably would not have gone in. We got here from Sportacus. He says, I will always associate Jerry Jones with the $200 pepperoni pizza at AT&T Stadium. Is there a $200 pepperoni pizza? Okay. Mario says, you're overthinking this, Damon. Jerry just wasn't going to pay that much. No. Watch that documentary. I'm not overthinking it at all. Jerry is absolutely victim to thinking like this. And the amount of money that he was going to pay, again, he's got it. Dallas Cowboys worth $14 billion. He's got it. You know, but the cap is an illusion. The cap can be manipulated. The cap is, it's there, but you can work around it. And it's not, it's not the big money that you spend on the guy who's going to all pros all the time. It's the money that you spend everywhere else on your roster. It's, you know, spending too much money on the edges of your roster that make deals like this harder to get through. But these are the deals you get through. You never tell a quarterback, a tackle, or an edge player who's at the best of the best of the best, we're not interested anymore. These are the guys that you make massive sacrifices to keep around. There's zero, almost, possibility of Jerry Jones drafting players as good as Micah Parsons is. And if he does, if he's lucky enough to draft players as good as Micah Parsons is, they will be $40 million a year players on the defensive side of the ball within one or two more years anyway. Jerry Jones, if he's saying, I can't afford to spend this much money on both sides of the ball, the last old man who did that was Al Davis, who was way too old to be state-of-the-art and to be in front of the direction, the NFL or the salary cap or where it's heading. What Al Davis said was a bridge that cannot be crossed turned into an elevator that everybody rode. Every single position in football to the position is about to be, for those who are good at it, a $20 million a year number. By the way, this is what Juwan Jennings is saying. The thing is, though, the guy that gets the $20 million contract has to have produced better at some point in his career before he gets it to get it. Juwan wants to be let into the $20 million a year club without the $20 million a year production to show for his entry fee. He just wants to be let in. He thinks he belongs in there. And you know what? He might be right. But instead of just playing the upcoming season and then taking your peaches to the market to find out what they're really, you know, going to be worth, he wants to be paid before the peaches are even put in the bushel to take to market. When they did that for him last year, they already renegotiated the contract. To double dip on those renegotiate, had he not decided, hey, re-up me last year, they might have broached it this time around. They might have, but not for this price point, not without that production. I mean, when you draft a player on the defensive side of the football, your very best hope would be someday this player, regardless of position, might be regarded as the defensive player of the year. Well, right now, your odds-on favorite to win the 2025 Defensive Player of the Year, your odds-on favorite going off at 4-1 is Micah Parsons. Again, that's a guy you do not trade. That's a guy you do not walk away from. That's a guy whose talent is so significant, you make tough roster choices around him, not through him. By the way, Aiden Hutchinson is 6-1, TJ Watt 7-1, Myles Garrett 8-1, and Nick Bosa 10-1 to win Defensive Player of the Year here in 2025. Just so you know how much this trade shook the world, though, the Dallas Cowboys went from 50-1 to win the Super Bowl this year to 66-1. So their odds dropped. The Green Bay Packers went from 18-1 to 10-1 to win the Super Bowl with this one move. No matter what you think of the Cowboys, the Packers, your emotions about either franchise, your emotions about Micah Parsons, your emotions about Jerry Jones, forgetting how you feel about any of it, this is one of the more significant trades of your NFL lifetime. It is a shapeshifter in terms of what pecking order in the NFC looks like. No matter what you thought of the Packers, you must regard them higher now. No matter what you thought of the Cowboys, you must have less regard for them now. He's too big of a player to subtract and say, nothing's going to change. He's too big of a player to add and say, yeah, it's going to be about the same. This guy changes the temperature in the room big time. Big time. He is outstanding. The only reason that you might not like Micah Parsons is because A, he played for the Dallas Cowboys, or B, you never liked Penn State either. That would be it. Because just the football player, The guy's awesome. I saw somebody today in Dallas on a sports talk station make the argument, well, look at how Micah plays in big games. And that's the reason to not give him this contract. To that, I would say, what big games? Dallas Cowboys, how often are they in big games? Not often. And if you want to say, well, they're not in enough big games to justify this price, yeah, that's not how it works either. It just does not make any sense to me. He's a 26-year-old all-pro linebacker early on in his career, just nothing but firmly on a first-ballot Hall of Fame track. As a matter of fact, just to prove to you that time is indeed a flat circle, the last time the Green Bay Packers traded with an NFC East team for one of the best defenders in the sport, it paid off big time. They won a Super Bowl. Reggie White came from the Eagles in a stunning trade to the Green Bay Packers. The Packers were not cool. The Packers were not hot, were not hot in any way. The Packers officially became the team that NFL players don't want to sign with because Green Bay ain't cool and it's a whole bunch of white people and there's no club, there's no culture, there's no nightlife, there's no restaurants, there's not a lot going on in Green Bay but fucking farming. And it wasn't cool. Reggie White, I don't know if it ever became cool, but Reggie White made it now a viable destination when he said, yeah, I'm going to Green Bay, and guys followed. Micah Parsons is one of two NFL players to have at least 12 sacks in each of his first four seasons. The other guy was Reggie White. If you are a Green Bay Packers fan, you are doing lines of pure Micah Parsons cocaine off the back of the toilet and screaming, we're going to the Super Bowl. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you? You're so excited about it. It's a huge trade. It's a huge trade. My across the street neighbor, a guy named Tim, great guy. The only thing wrong with him is how much of a Packers fan he really is. He's over the moon. He won't stop texting me. He told me, he's like, I watched your show yesterday about the Micah Parsons trade. I was a little upset you didn't bring me up. Well, I'm bringing you up now. And I told him I'm going to bring him up in the police report when I have to burn his house down because the freaking Packers won the Super Bowl. Tim, I won't burn your house down. I promise. It's a trade that might work out for the Dallas Cowboys, but I don't think it will. I don't think it will. And we won't know until years how it actually looks or sounds or feels or pays off. By the way, oh, Barry already said we need a bang, bang sound. Here you go. I'll just go bang, bang. Thank you, Barry. John Brennick just tipping $2. Nothing to say. Thank you very much for slipping it in the ganja jar. My man, Sam Bruno, Mike, must be something in the water in Dallas with epic trades. First Luca, now Micah. Yeah, it's something else, man. Dallas is just waving goodbye to iconic generational my jerseys top the list selling sell type of players. It really is. Crazy. I got another NFL story for you here on Friday afternoon. And I don't even think we need stories like this. Does it really matter? So Jim Irsay, as I suspected on the day where we were talking about his death, you know, he had demons. He was addicted to popping pills at the very least, maybe a little bit more on the back end. Who knows? Well, it comes out that former Indianapolis Colts owner Jim Irsay continued to suffer setbacks from longtime addiction to painkillers before his death in May. The Washington Post has people confirming at least three times Jim Irsay overdosed in February of 2020, including twice during a 12-day span in 2023 at his home in suburban Indianapolis. He then overdosed again and had to be hospitalized in January of 2024 in Miami. You know, there's so much money involved, and he was such a powerful guy, and there's an NFL team involved, but we know what the succession plan is. His daughters, his children, his three daughters, what is it, Carly, Casey, and Kaylin, are now the third generation of Irsay's running the Colts. So there was no question as to where the team was going or anything like that. There's probably no element of the autopsy that changes anything. The guy had demons, man. The guy had demons. And beyond having demons, and, you know, how do I say this delicately? Kids, don't do drugs, but also, you know, it's fun to party. Jim Irsay liked to party, man. Jim Irsay liked to cocktail. Jim Irsay liked to get his yayas going. Like, I mean, it's okay. It's okay. Yeah, you don't want it to take you over. But I know people who like to party. They're not bad people because they like to get their yayas off. You know, the only time that really comes back to haunt anybody is if you do something stupid like get behind the wheel of a car, really endanger other people. Like, you want to sit in your house and pop pills and snort what, shoot what? I don't care as long as nobody else is getting hurt. You know, don't hurt yourself. Don't hurt your own family. But Jim Irsay liked to party, and his family, you know, shouldn't have to respond to articles in the Washington Post about this. Like, the guy's dead. He's gone. We all knew he liked to party. So are we that shocked by it? Not really. So what's digging going to do? The Irsay family issued a statement to the Washington Post saying, quote, "We continue to grieve the loss of our dad, a man defined not only by his role as the owner of the Colts, but also by his resilience, his personal struggles, and his deep love for friends, family, and community." In other words, to call his death natural is probably an exaggeration, but why do we even have to really tell this story? He was a good guy for the most part. Back off. John comes in. "Hey, DB, any plans to when you cross 50,000 subs, 100,000 subs? Well, John, if you could get 100,000 of your close friends together, we could do it today. But the real goal is I want to be at 50,000 subs by the bye week. But the 49ers, I think the bye week is week 14. I would love to be at 50,000, and then we'll worry about getting to 100,000 when we get to 50,000. But this is our goal. It's an aggressive goal. Help me get there. Hit like, hit subscribe, hit notify, share the video, tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell an enemy. I really don't give a shit. But have them check it out. Hopefully they dig talking sports with adults who don't get, you know, deep in their emotions and overreact to everything. What a concept. I'm probably going to get drowned out by the hyperventilators, but I'll be happy dying my slow little death with you reasonable folks than going to the world of unreasonable overreaction just to have a lot of people watch what I'm saying, because unless I'm exaggerating, I'm not interesting. Thank God I don't live that life. What do we got? Tom saying, "I realize it's easy for us to talk about this Juwan Jennings situation versus actually dealing with the situation, but enough is enough. We have the Seahawks in 9 days. Cut this guy loose." Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's, how is it we're still here? How is it you're not an inch further to getting a deal done today as you were on the first day of training camp 4.5 weeks ago? What's going on? Sam Bruno just wants everybody to know drugs are bad. Okay. Yeah. Buster says, "Where can we get that new awesome black Niners jersey besides at NFL ripoff and a ripoff NFL shop prices?" I don't know, man. You're going to have to plug through the internet to find that one out, but you'll find it. It'll be out there. Trying to catch up on a very busy chat here. Very busy chat. Our good friend Carl says, "No one has ever consistently misread the room. How do the 49ers have a very important player reach each year in a massive contract dispute that tanks the preseason vibes?" You would think that that is something that they would head off at the old pass, right? Like an old Western. But no, It's just straight up. It's the OK Corral around somebody's freaking contract every single preseason. It's pretty nuts. And by the way, it's not going to get any easier now that Brock's making what he's making. Got $100 million in dead cap? Again, I got people getting all up in our... Here's the thing. If the NFL team isn't worried about it, I'm not worried about it. It's just that simple. Dead cap space? Who cares? It just means you are trying to erase mistakes. And it's going to take a season of suffering to do so. So, I am become deaf destroyer of words. He's saying the Niners are stupid. But they're not. I mean, that's the thing. I think that's what's frustrating about this. You know, when this happens to... You know, the Raiders, the Jets, your franchises that are defined by dysfunction. You know, I expect that from them. I don't expect this from the 49ers. I think that's what's so frustrating. And maybe we need to. And by the way, if you want to say the Niners are stupid, there is an element of you guys have screwed that up enough that it has created the world and universe that you're now having a little difficulty existing in. I saw this from Josh Dubow. From the AP, teams with the lowest percentage of draft picks from 2021 to 2024 still on their roster or their injured list. So this isn't holding injury to any of those players against the teams. This is, do you retain the players you draft? It's odd, but the number one team in terms of not retaining the players that you drafted, has been pretty successful over the last few years. It's the Minnesota Vikings. After that, it's the New England Patriots, who are obviously still coming out of their Tom Brady rebuild. After that, it's the Titans. No surprise there. They're, you know, at the top of the number one pick in the NFL draft conversation. The Commanders then show up. Then it's the Raiders at 46.7%, and then it's the 49ers. Now, the Commanders just spent all that money in free agency. They had all that money in free agency to spend. The Raiders are going to get better with Pete Carroll and Spytek being a good front office guy. But the fact that the 49ers are right there with the Raiders in terms of players you drafted actually still here, that's a big part of the problem that the 49ers find themselves in. They don't draft enough young talent to keep it, and then they got to go out and fix their draft mistakes by spending more on free agents, acquiring, you know, a bigger contract and having to give up draft capital to get there. So if you want to say the 49ers are stupid, you can say, hey, they might have been a little stupid when it comes to how to draft. And man, they seem to be caught off guard by a personality that they know well every single preseason for the last 4 or 5 years. And it is enough. It is annoying. Barry dipping in again. Mary said to put this in Jillian's jar. Oh, thank you very much, Barry and Mary. So here's the thing. Jillian's ganja jar, much less aggressive than mine. She likes like 5 milligram gummies at the end of the night to help her just take a little nappy nap. So thank you. Little 5 milligrammer. For Jillian. We talked about Juwan. We talked about the trade that shook the NFL. We talked about Jim Irsay's demons. Can we talk about this is the weekend that we get college football back for reals for reals? Oh, my God. I'm so happy that college football is back. Indiana, we're all for you. We will fight for the cream and crimson, for the glory of old IU. We're not just a basketball school anymore. We actually grew a dick and started playing football. Indiana, we grew a dick now. We're going to play some football for real. Go Hoosiers. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Indiana's got a ranked preseason football team. We were in the college football playoffs. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Number 20 hosts Old Dominion. It's probably not the number one game on your dance card tomorrow, but I'm interested. The number one game on all dance cards, get out of bed early at 9 a.m. We got kickoff between number one Texas and number two Ohio State. That game deserved a prime time. Here's the thing that sucks about Big Noon. Big Noon means Ohio State's going to be playing at 9 a.m. all the time. Ohio State hated being the Fox Big Noon game, which they were many, many times last year. And the biggest number one here is college football season game we'll get in our lifetimes. Number one versus number two, Texas, Ohio State. Can't get bigger than that at freaking breakfast. I would have liked that a little bit later in the day, to be totally honest with you. But we got some good ones on Saturday. So we got, you know, obviously it's Labor Day weekend coming up. And Jillian's like, we got to do something with the boys. The boys won't be in school on Monday. Larry and I will be doing a wake up, I believe, on Monday. And then I'm not going to do this because we got the kids. So we're not going to have an 11 a.m. on Monday next week because we got the boys home from school. We're going to do a BART trip. We might do a ferry ride and get some ice cream over in Tiburon if it's a nice day. And we're planning on what way we're going to do it. And I just told Jillian, I'm like, Sunday or Monday. Let's do it Sunday or Monday because Saturday, Daddy needs some college football. I mean, I love my kids. But the Hoosiers are ranked. Come on. Priorities. What's exciting is that the boys are still so young. All Ozzie wants to do is get on Muni and take BART. Like, this kid's the cheapest date in freaking San Francisco. It's great. It's great. It won't be that way forever. I'm like, let's go ahead and make this guy think that he is, you know, just partying in a Vegas suite banging porn stars. Like, he is so excited to know that he's going on BART or Muni. That's his four-year-old New Year's Eve. So we're going to be rocking a little BART, little Muni. We might go down to the ferry building, get a ticket to go over to Tiburon. Oh, the boys would love that. So hopefully it's a nice Saturday or Sunday or Monday. Saturday could be the best day in the history of San Francisco. I'm not going outside until I've had my fill of college football. Do you love your family? Yeah, but... But the Hoosiers are ranked. Mike Baker, have any of you guys we've given big extensions to lived up to their deal? It didn't seem like it. Well, you know, I mean, Brandon Ayuk got hurt. Trent Williams then got hurt. Brock Purdy better, or everyone dies quickly anyways. Hopefully Christian McCaffrey's got several seasons of real good football left in him. A lot of people say that can't happen, but I think it might. George Kittle. Some of these will work out for you. But Mike, I hear you. Thank you so much for watching and for being generous in the supers. San Jose State versus Central Michigan tonight on Fox Sports 1. Let's go, Sparty. Vince Vargas. Go, Sparty. Dom. Any upcoming concerts on the radar for you, Damon? Great show as always, and happy Labor Day, y'all. My goddaughter, Julia, plays in a band. I want to go see her band more than anything else. My buddy Ryan's daughter is now a straight-up drummer, dude. This chick rules. And so I want to bring my kids to see her to be inspired. That's what I want to do. So it's probably not the band you were thinking, but no, I got nothing coming up on the horizon at Chase Center, although I did look at Shane Gillis tickets. Not a concert, comedy, but I'm not going to go to Shane Gillis. I'm not spending that. Nothing coming up at Chase, nothing coming up at Shoreline, nothing coming up at any of my favorites, the Warfield, the Fillmore, the Independent, anything like that. No, nothing really on the horizon concert-wise, but thanks for asking. We got number 6 Notre Dame at number 10 Miami. Number 8 Alabama at unranked Florida State. That could actually turn into a football game. By the way, the best game on the board, honestly, besides Texas, Ohio State, Notre Dame, Miami is really nice. But number 9 LSU at number 4 Clemson. It's the Death Valley Bowl. We got two teams who consider their stadiums to be Death Valley. Well, we'll find out, right? Oh, you know what we also get? We get a little Pac-12 nostalgia served up in Corvallis, Oregon State. Beavers opening with Calabama, the Calgarhythm. Let's go, Calabama. Let's see what the Cal Golden Bears got. Cal versus Oregon State, 7:30 Saturday night on ESPN. Stanford already shot itself in the foot, so no one's going to pay attention all season long. They lost their opener at Hawaii already. So Stanford football, thanks for coming. We're probably not going to talk about you again. I mean, seriously, when Jim Harbaugh was going to Rose Bowls at Stanford, and I was on KNBR 1050, which was the Stanford flagship, we took zero calls on Stanford. This is Jim Harbaugh going to Rose Bowls. Zero calls over the course of 4 years came into to contend. I just saw KNBR announce that they got Andrew Luck on once a week. It's a formal invitation to not listen to the station for one segment once a week. Who's making these decisions? Hey, we're going to have Andrew Luck to talk about a Stanford football season that no one gives a shit about and is already dead on arrival because they lost the season opener at Hawaii, for fuck's sakes. Good luck with that segment. There'll be more people watching the Plouse than listening to that, and thank you for it. There's more people subscribing to the Plouse than subscribing to that already, right now. Man, the chat is just on fire this Friday. Look at what's going on. I remember that. It was unbelievable how Stanford had no buzz when they were killing it every week. I mean, it didn't matter. It didn't matter what Stanford was offering. No one gave a shit. Like, they're going to Rose Bowls. You didn't like Jim Harbaugh? Okay, well, then here comes David Shaw. David Shaw is super easy to root for. He's really likable. You going to still pay attention? No. What about Kobe Gerhart? What, is that enough for you? Toby Gerhart, Kobe Gerhart, Kobe Bryant. Yeah, Toby Gerhart, was that his name? Yeah, that guy. No one gave a shit. So what do we got? Yeah, we got a three-day weekend. That's what we got coming up. This super's for the JJ Raider Labor Day ganja jar. Mike, thank you very much. Look at that. He's tied the Raider jar, the JJ Raider ganja jar into a holiday. He's got worked in a sponsorship there. I love it. Steve says, does anyone care for football at Stanford? Robot Wars would bring a crowd. Best video game champ will bring a crowd. That's what Stanford student body cares about. It is a detachment from normal football campus reality. It really is. I mean, that's the thing. Going down to Palo Alto should be really nice. Like, the weather's great. They got a great little stadium. They got a great little place to have a nice tailgate. There's a lot of friendly people down there. You'd think it would go off. You'd think it would pop. They're lucky if they get like 15,000 in there for some games. It's just, I don't get it. I just don't get it. I'm jealous. Damon gets to keep his hair in his 50s. Hey, I'm 50. I'm not in my 50s. I'm 50. And look, it's getting thinner. I mean, let me just show you. I'm not afraid to expose. Look at this. Look at that. I'm like freaking alfalfa up here. When you come down the middle, look at that. It's getting thinner. I don't quite have the male pattern yarmulke baldness going on here, but it's coming. It's coming. I'm going to have a little little bald spot yarmulke before it's all said and done. It's going to happen. Hopefully I get to keep it up here, though, and I get to do the Steve Young. Steve Young was going way bald up here, but the frontal rim of Steve Young's hair was nice enough. Then I think he's had a little work done to fill it all in up here. as you can see, when it comes to getting a little work done, a little cosmetic work done, I subscribe to, I think I'm just going to let myself go. That's what I subscribe to. It's okay, Damon. You're good. Good at what? We're good? Good. Thank you. Did you see the San Francisco Giants set the Chicago Cubs up with a date with Broomhilda? Broomhilda came through. Giants swept the Cubs. There she is. Look at that beauty. Oh, I bet the Cubs are excited to be dating her right now. It's going to be the Orioles in town over the Labor Day weekend. The Giants actually have a 5-game winning streak, tied for the longest active winning streak in all of baseball right now. Oh, my God, break up the Giants. They're just like the New York Yankees. The Yankees have the other 5-game winning streak going on in Major League Baseball right now. The game, if you're not local, I believe it's on Apple TV tonight. So Apple TV crew coming in. Does that mean it's still on CSN Bay Area? I hope so. Robbie Ray, who should have been traded, wasn't. And so now he's going to try to win a game. Again, I don't want to hear about Giants winning streaks, playing better. They are having a good week. Rafael Devers is kind of figuring it out at home a little bit, and that's all well and good. There's still 2 games under 500. Fuck your wild card conversations. I'm not into them. I don't want to talk about it at all. Let's not talk about it. I don't care how many games back you think you might be the wild card. When you're not even at 500, I don't want to hear it. Don't want to hear it. Did you see what Kyle Schwarber did? Major League Baseball's 21st four-home run game. He was 4-for-6 with a Philly record 9 RBI in a 19-4 win over the Atlanta Braves on Thursday night. Kyle Schwarber, again, Indiana, we're all for you. Go Hoosiers. Kyle Schwarber, the fact that the Chicago Cubs did not keep him will piss me off forever. Love Kyle Schwarber. Right now, he has the outright National League home run lead with 49. He is one back of Cal Raleigh, who's got a Major League 50 right now as a catcher, first catcher to ever hit 50 home runs. That guy needs to pee in a cup and win the American League MVP. Schwarber leads the majors now with a career-high 119 RBI. I love Kyle Schwarber, man. I really do. Another super in here in the form of SGA Sports Talk nearly coming up on a year of membership, 11 months being celebrated today. Thank you, SGA. Damon, how you doing? You're the GOAT. You rock. Hilarious. Oh, I am deeply humbled. Thank you very, very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It was awesome hanging out with you all today. Thank you very, very much for being here, being a part of this, being a part of the show, being a part of this community, being a part of the group of folks who have already tapped that thumbs up, like, and subscribe. We are trying to get to 50,000, trying to get ourselves there. By the bye week, we're going to need you to get there. And we're going to need you to pay close attention because now it's officially time for your lesson of the day today in history. Today in history. We always start with happy birthdays. We don't have too many of them today. Happy birthday to Elliot Gould. Elliot Gould, that's some old-time Hollywood right there. He was Woody Allen movies. I've always liked Elliot Gould. You saw him in the Ocean's 11 remakes with Clooney and Brad Pitt and all that shit. But forget about Elliot, because happy 67th birthday to Rebecca De Mornay. Rebecca De Mornay was a big part of the creation of a straight libido in an awful lot of boys my age, because we all saw the wind blow those doors open and the curtains blowing in the wind. You got leaves blowing in the wind. You got Rebecca De Mornay riding Tom Cruise in Risky Business. Then they get on with the subway. These are important moments in a young man's life. Rebecca De Mornay You know, I wonder if she sits back and watches, like, you know, Hand That Rocks the Cradle or Risky Business to be like, man, when I was in my 20s, I was a smoke show. She really was. She was gorgeous. She still is. Happy birthday to Elliot Gould and Rebecca De Mornay. And we don't do an awful lot of posthumous birthdays, but I do feel that I need to tell you that today would have been Michael Jackson's 67th birthday. Obviously, the way we feel about Michael Jackson is a tad complicated, knowing what we all know now. But it also would have been kind of fascinating to see what kind of life Michael Jackson was living in his 60s. Like, would he have still been producing music? Would he have still would he have been like the pop star equivalent of the Rolling Stones? Would he be out there trying to make it happen still and tour and dance and moonwalk into his 70s? Like, that would have been interesting. Today in 1758, the very first American Indian reservation was established at Indian Mills, New Jersey. You don't walk around New Jersey thinking, but there are a lot of Indians around here. But I guess at one time there were. 1758, the very first Indian reservation established today in Jersey. Today in 1831, a guy named Michael Faraday discovered electromagnetic induction, which opened the doors to electric generators, which opened the door to the world we live in. So happy birthday, kind of electricity a little bit today. Today in 1885, Gottlieb Daimler, which, by the way, if you had to come up with the most German name ever, Gottlieb Daimler is one of them. Gottlieb Daimler. By the way, my grandfather had one of the most German names of all time. Reinhold Tolgi. That's pretty German. Anyways, Gottlieb Daimler patented what became the world's first internal combustion motorcycle. It was called the Reitwagen. By the way, Gottlieb Daimler of Daimler Chrysler. This is one of the all-time engineering greats in the history of the world when it comes to building cars and engines and shit. Happy birthday to the Goodyear tire, founded today in 1898. Was it a good year? Oh, it was the best. Today in 1922, the very first radio advertisement for an apartment complex was broadcast on WEAF in New York City. And one of the big problems with radio is that nobody buys advertising on radio anymore, which means they can't afford to keep talented people around anymore, which is why you had to read about Tim Kawakami's interview on 95.7 The Game, because without Damon, nobody's listening. Just going to throw that out there. Today in 1958, the United States Air Force Academy opened in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And I'm going to tell you, if you've ever been to Colorado Springs, Colorado, you know that that is one of the most beautiful campuses you'll ever see. Great, cool architecture that was ahead of its time. It opened in 58. Thing looks like it was, you know, modern in the 70s. Very, very cool campus. Colorado Springs, Colorado, among the more beautiful places you'll ever go in your life. It's gorgeous there. Today in 1966. Here's what's amazing. Paul McCartney's still with us. Candlestick is not. Today in 1966, the Beatles performed their last concert at Candlestick in San Francisco, the last time they played in front of a paying crowd. They couldn't even hear themselves over the scream of the crowd, and they just said, we're done doing this. Enough. But today, 1966, can you imagine, like, some dude was rolling around Haight-Ashbury, twisting up a joint today in 1966, and they're like, hey, Daryl, what are you doing tonight? And he's like, man, I'm going to go see the Beatles at Candlestick. It's fucking awesome. That's awesome. So because we did the Michael Jackson posthumous birthday, I did another thing that we normally don't do here, because I don't want today in history to devolve into such a pop culture segment that we're only talking about movies and music and stuff. I wanted to be historical, some real shit that happened. But today, August 29th, 1987, Los Lobos had the number one hit in America La Bamba. Now, that was actually Ricky Valens' song, as you all know, but it was Los Lobos recreating Richie Valens for the movie La Bamba, starring Lou Diamond Phillips. And if we really want to talk about what is the musical biography that launched them all, La Bamba's right up there. La Bamba is an awesome movie. And beyond La Bamba being an awesome movie with Lou Diamond Phillips, just awesome. He's awesome in it. Along with La Bamba being an awesome movie, I'm going to tell you right now, I cannot recommend highly enough, if you ever get the chance to see Los Lobos in concert, go. Like, if you only know Los Lobos through the prism of, like, they did the La Bamba soundtrack, you don't know anything about it. Los Lobos is awesome. They are fun. They're a little funky. They're a lot of rock and roll. Los Lobos rules. Like, go to a Los Lobos show. You will love it. They're awesome. So I wanted to tell you about that. See Los Lobos, watch La Bamba. You'll be happy you did both. Netflix, founded by Reed Hastings and Mark Randolph, today in 1997, Netflix. Going to mail you a DVD. You mail it back to us, we'll mail you another one. Once we take the mail out of this, we'll really start printing our own money. Look at Netflix. Look what it's become. Finally, today in 2005, Katrina made land. Katrina made landfall, devastating the Gulf Coast, Louisiana to Florida, Mississippi, got pounded like no hurricanes really pounded that region ever before. So today in 2005, you had people spending this weekend in a dark, scary superdome. There's a documentary on Netflix about this. I don't even know if I want to go down that road again. But man, that was seriously a big moment, a devastating moment. Thank you very, very much for watching. Thank you for being a part of this today. Thank you for being a part of this. For those of you who are part of this every day, it means so much, your loyalty. I can't express my gratitude enough. Thank you for the supers. Eat at Ike's. Get yourself a delicious sandwich. Get to the Dubliner West portal this weekend. You will be happy that you did. You'll be taken care of. Muni drops you off and picks you up right out front. You don't have to worry about anything. Just enjoy yourself. Be good to each other. Have a great three-day weekend. We will be back with a wake-up on Monday morning, getting you ready for week one, baby. It's week one, starting next week. We've made it. We've officially made it. Oh, my God. Where are we going here? Maximum. Football. Awesome to see you. Thank you for being here. And please do remember that sports don't build character. They reveal it. And like that, he's gone.